To me, one of the most powerful scriptures and phrases in the Word is found in John 1. It says, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh, describing who Jesus was. And it follows from that in that same passage, and made God plain as day. It's so simple. When the Word becomes flesh, when the Word is integrated into our lives, there's a light that emanates. And that light is making the Father plain as day to all around us. Problem we have is, in our understanding of the Word, we don't tend to see it so much as something we become, but more as something that we do. For many, the Word of God is like a heavenly to-do list, that ideal standard that nobody can measure up to. And unfortunately with that, when we see the Word as something apart from us, something we're trying to do or perform to gain God's favor, with that comes a sense of failure, accusation, condemnation. Why? Because human nature always falls short. God did not intend for his Word to be something external to his people. But the Word becoming flesh that describes Jesus is meant to describe who we are in Christ. Romans chapter 3 and chapter 8, verse 3, it says, what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of trying harder, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Okay, when the Word is something external, there's like a, it's described as a law code. And what God is saying is not try harder. That voice is coming from another source. Trying harder just wears you out, makes you feel bad about yourself. But instead of a law code that's external, God is saying, let's just become aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. Embrace what the Spirit is doing within us. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to make the Word flesh. Remember, the Holy Spirit is given what? To lead us into the reality of Christ. What is the reality of Christ? The Word became flesh. All we have to do is cooperate and let the Holy Spirit do his function and job within us. When we talk about Jesus, everybody says the first miracle is the wedding, when he turned water into wine. But I'm saying the first miracle is who he was, not what he did. The fact that he was the Word made flesh was the first miracle that everybody saw. You know, during the time that Jesus ministered, there were a lot of self-proclaimed messiahs. I was reading a book, and I didn't realize how prevalent that was, because there was such an expectation in Israel for the Messiah to come. Why was that? Because they were under Roman oppression. There were all kinds of people before, during, and after Jesus that were claiming to be the Messiah. In fact, some of them moved in the supernatural, which is kind of interesting. You know, you always think if a miracle is performed, it's got to be God. But let's remember that verse where Jesus said, many will say to me, didn't we do all these things in your name? And he'll say, I don't know who you are. So just signs and wonders, they testify of God's power, but they're not enough. Matthew 24:23, it says, fake messiahs and lying preachers. Ooh, what did I say that for? We'd hate to. Fake messiahs and lying preachers are going to pop up everywhere. They will provide great signs and wonders so as to deceive the very elect. What's the answer to that deception if we can't look at the externals? The Word becoming flesh, the living Word in you, is the sign of God's presence. That's something that can't be faked. There's no counterfeit for that. In the Old Covenant, the Word was always a bridge between God and humanity. Remember, the prophets would speak, and why was this? Because of sin, God was separate from humans, human nature. And how did God reach us? Well, he gave a law through Moses, tablets of stone it was written on. He spoke through prophets, words. And those words were a bridge that people tried to cross. If you do this, you'll be blessed. If you don't do it, you will not be blessed. Unfortunately, human nature could never successfully cross that bridge. We still carry, I think, too much in our psyche and in our mind, an old covenant view of the word. The prophet speaking, God speaking from somewhere else. And we got to try real hard to cross that bridge. Instead of trying to do the word being integrated into our life is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a bridge for you to cross. It's a reality for you to experience. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. In other words, they're to find place in your life. God created you to house his spiritual word in life. That's what the new covenant is all about. It's not God speaking from some distant place demanding this or that of you. It's God's word in you. Rivers of living water flowing out from the depth of your being. Hebrews chapter 1 says, through the prophets, God has in the past addressed our ancestors. Okay, that's the old covenant. Now he speaks directly through his son. Okay, where is his son? Within Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says. This is the reality that you carry in your spirit and heart. God's nature is there, seen perfectly through the Son. Everything being held together. Well, it seems like everything's falling apart. Well, on a level of the soul, yeah, it is. God intends for it to, again, because spirit is going to be dominant. But within, where the Christ is, everything is being held together. That's where our glorious liberty is. Jesus said, I give you peace. In the world, you have tribulation. He didn't say, I'm going to stop the tribulation in the world. When he came, he didn't stop the Roman oppression. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, in him, we can be free of whatever is taking place externally. As we let the word become flesh within us, our awareness changes. We abide where he is. 2 Corinthians 3, Paul said, your very lives are a letter. That's the word becoming flesh again, living epistles, that anyone can read. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives. That's what God's doing. It's not a word on stone. It's not the letter of the law. Remember, Jesus talked about that. But by his very hand, writing in our lives, carving his word of spirit and life within us, that becomes our reality. So how do we respond to the word, becoming the word? Instead of our awareness being, I've got to do better so I can do the word, let's think, Lord, how can I be open to become the word? If we become the word, then we're going to do the word. Right? How can we be open to the word? Well, we know how. You know when you're resistant to the word. You know when God is speaking to your heart and you find pride will put up walls of resistance. We try to analyze and figure it out, and it doesn't fit into where we see our lives going. It doesn't fit into our agenda, then we put up walls. We all know how we resist the word. We all know how we welcome the word, like Mary. Do unto me according to your word, that humble spirit. By faith, when God speaks to our heart, even if we can't understand it, we have faith because we know who is speaking the word. That again, faith, humility, are ways of welcoming the word. I'm going to finish with this passage in Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the sower. And one thing good about this parable is Jesus explains very clearly what it means. He says, whenever anyone hears the news of the kingdom, this is Matthew 13, let's see, and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. Okay, when anyone hears, if it's a living word, what's he saying? The purpose of God speaking is to take it in, to become a part of us. If it's just something we're hearing and not being on the surface, trying to figure out, trying to religiously strive for and perform, the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. Anything that's not integrated into your life, the enemy can bring accusation and remove. If you have to be talked into something, the devil's very good at talking you out of it. He's a great debater. Whatever is integrated in you can't be taken from you. The seed cast in the gravel. This is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there is no soil of character. So when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. When we receive the word into our lives, it's meant to bring that balance, restore the balance where spirit is dominant. Now, when our soul is dominant and we want to be in charge, what happens is that the word can come in, but it's a shallow planting. And people get all emotionally charged, you know, so wasn't that a great service? Wasn't that a great conference? Wasn't that a great word, great worship, whatever? The next day it can be just totally gone. Why? Because emotions come and go. When difficulty, when testing arises, if the soul is dominant, the word won't go deep enough. We have to let the word challenge our will. Where we say, not my will, but thy will be done. What does that do? That means the word is planted deep enough where it's going to bear fruit and it can stand the testings that you go through. And the last one, it says, the word cast in the weeds is a person who hears the word, but the weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard, and nothing comes of it. Worry and illusions. You think about in our human nature, wanting more, wanting everything under the sun, that thing of just always grabbing for things. We don't realize how that is resisting the integration of God's word into our life. It chokes the life out. What does God want us to do? Trust him with our lives. Not worry about it. Not try to grab for more. I know that's the way of the world. Try to amass as much as you can. For what? You don't take anything with you. Everybody leaves this planet, and you don't take anything that you amass in this world. It's the wrong pursuit, and that kind of pursuit chokes out the very life that God wants to manifest through us in his word. We're to be the word made flesh in this generation. And something about this day of spirit that's being opened is going to quicken our awareness. God is going to open up something new in our minds and our awareness of what this really means. We're going to see his word in a whole new light. Instead of the word being some impossible obstacle or impossible goal, we're going to see the word as the very manifest love of God, God's gift to us. And it's meant to fit into our life and dominate our life and give us his life. Amen. Let's stand. Amen.